Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is July 12th. The Thunderdome era is over. R.I.P. in peace. It's dead. It's gone. I'm so excited, and I'm so excited so many of you wonderful people are here with us. Leave a thumbs up on this video. I can't tell you how important that is. Subscribe, tap that bell for notification. You can send your super chats to get your question or statements right on the air. There's a little dollar sign button at the bottom of the chat to do that, like Brandon Charles Powell did, saying goodbye, Thunderdome. But we got Denise Salcedo here with us. And guess what, guys? She'll be here Saturday. I'll be sending her some little scoop skis and notes live from Nashville.
Any scoops? Oh, I'm this is very exciting.
Well, let's be real. I already gave you a bunch of scoops off the air.
Oh, well, that's true. Well, I can't. I wasn't going to reveal that you gave off the air.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. You're not going to reveal them off the record. But I already gave you some scoopskies. I already gave you some scoopskies. But she's going to be here Saturday with Steven Jensen reviewing Impact Slammiversary. I will be in Nashville talking about the show. I got people saying, Sean, you got a new camera? You got a new camera? No, I just found the 1080p button on StreamYard. So I'm finally...
Are you kidding me, Sean? I was wondering what was different about you. I thought it was just the way you were sitting or the way that you framed your camera.
No.
Why did you lower your chair? I thought you wanted to be taller than me.
Hold on. I got the hydraulics.
Is this a lowrider now?
Yeah.
Dear Lord. Oh, my God. Here I was thinking. So this whole time, you just hadn't clicked the button yet.
Yeah, I hadn't clicked the 1080p button. Ricardo says, Raw didn't exactly suck. Hi, guys. I thought it was the worst Raw in weeks, personally. But, guys, you can get your super chats in there. What?
You really thought it was the worst Raw?
Yes. Yes. I definitely did. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know what, Denise? You know what, Denise?
What?
It's an important day for me.
Why is that? Oh, wait. I know. Continue on.
No, go ahead. Guess why it could be an important day for me. Oh, my God. Would you look at these? Look at these beauties, Denise.
The Saps one.
Oh, my God. It's the SRS one, the Sap one. I don't even know what you want to call it. Look at that.
I thought you were going to model them for us, though. That's false advertising, John. Oh, no.
I'll be wearing them this week in Nashville. Look at these beauties. Look at these. GOI Kicks on Twitter and Instagram, Glacier of Ice, my friend. They've done shoes for Moose, for Shane Helms, for Rey Mysterio, for Edge, and for me, of course, me, who is just as good of an athlete as all those people that I just mentioned.
I was going to say, what were your qualifications? Like, why did they decide to make the Saps won. The SRS won.
You know, Edge wore their shoes last Friday on SmackDown, and I think Edge probably hit up GOI Kicks and said, you know what? There's this great athlete, Sean Ross Sapp. He's got like a 50-plus inch box jump, and that's a shoot, Denise. I know you don't know what that means, but a 50-plus inch box jump, he needs SRS-1s. Look at those. Look at those. I'm not done showing you guys these, by the way. This is going to be recurring throughout this. GOI Kicks.
Should
Holy
I cheer
crap.
For you as you do this?
You should.
You want me to react?
I should get a track.
You should give me like a cheer, applause, sign or something.
Scott Young says, hey, Sean, had to unsub from Select because of money problems, but I just got a job, so I'll be resubbing in a couple of weeks. Actually working now. Enjoy. I mean, you just sent us the amount that Fightful Select is. But you know what? Whether you subscribe to Fightful Select or not, we appreciate your support. You do not have to subscribe to Fightful Select for us to appreciate you for being here. But you know what? I did drop a pretty big scoop ski on Fightful Select today. I dropped two or three, actually. I started off the day by revealing how MLW can use the LAX name. There's a new LAX in MLW, and it's awesome. It's Danny Limelight and Slice Boogie and Julius Smokes and Conan. And then I had a quickly confirmed scoop that Griff Garrison had signed with AEW full-time. And then tonight, as Raw went on the air, I got an update on Sonya Deville and a possible return to the ring. That's at FightfulSelect.com right now. And that's in addition to my Backstage Report podcast, 15 to 20 minutes of exclusive news. And then tomorrow, Tuesday, I'm doing a live Q&A, 5 p.m.
But Sean, you know you should be really nice to me on today's show because
I
have all your scoops, so I can literally just tweet them all out right now.
You could, but I know
could.
I know at least one person would stab you for it.
Who, you?
I mean, let's be real. At least one of the people I mentioned, you don't want to mess with them. Right.
Hey, I'm going to publish this now. Watch.
Exactly.
Me. Watch me.
Brandon Charles Powell says, excellent Buddy Murphy interview. One of my favorites for sure. Yeah, so Denise, I interviewed Buddy Murphy. It was his first post-WWE interview. I appreciate all the love everybody's showing. It was very wild. Like, his confidence seems shaken. Like, he doesn't seem like, by the way, I forgot to put the frame on there. But
way to go, Sean.
I know, right?
I thought you were just doing a new thing. That's why I didn't say anything. I was like, it's a new look, so I'm not going to say anything at all.
I just forgot to do it. His confidence seemed a bit shaken. Like when I was talking to him, it seemed like he just wasn't sure what was to come for him. And I'm like, are you kidding me? People are going to be falling all over themselves to book you. And when I asked him, did this affect your love for pro wrestling, he said, yes, absolutely. That's heartbreaking to hear, Denise.
And it's something that, sadly, he isn't the first person to say something like that. And he isn't the first person to show signs of that, which is very, very, that's not something you want to hear all the time, I guess.
That interview is up on YouTube.com/Fightful podcast platforms everywhere, my friends. That did, I think, over 35,000 views already. So did the Adam Cole interview from last week. Our watch along, our Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier watch along, over 40,000. So I hope you guys are tuning in for that. These big fights, we're going to make it a hangout every time. Fightful Fight Night. So make sure you guys check that out. And of course, this weekend, we got Money in the Bank. We got Slammiversary. I'm going to have a prediction show this week with Kate Hensler. It's probably going to go up, I think, noon tomorrow, I think, is the time we set. You know, don't sue me or anything. But, yeah, myself and Kate will be up noon tomorrow. But I guess we've got Raw to talk about. But you know what? Our viewers don't want us to because they're still saying Sean's interview equals us getting Murphy versus Brian Cage. I doubt that. I get the feeling that was probably going to be booked regardless, but at least Omar Diaz is saying I'm the nicest guy around. And Jeff L says, does Sammy win on Saturday like Bandido did? Holy crap.
I was so happy about that, by the way. So happy that they did that.
Me too, Denise. So we didn't cover this last, obviously, yet. Roosh loses the ROH world title to Bandido. That was a shock.
It was, but I definitely think it was the right call for them to make Bandido champion. I mean, he is a guy that can have amazing matches with just about any opponent that you were to give him, especially now with crowds coming back. That's somebody that people are definitely going to pop for every time. I'm so excited about Bandido being champion. Like, it made me happy. It really did.
It was a great moment. I think Rush's time had kind of passed. He had like the unfortunate misfortune of being the champion during the pandemic, and that's what a lot of people will associate it with. Bezos says Sasha and Bianca Espy looks in W Appreciation Chat. They looked like stars.
Bianca made her own dress. I could not believe it. I could believe it based on the gear that she does, but still, to make an actual dress and it looks so great. I had no idea. I went on her page and I saw that she said the dress was made by her. I was blown away. It's fantastic.
Kate, who is doing the show with me tomorrow, says, was at ROH behind the fan housings. The fans went nuts. Yeah, I know that there were some people who didn't quite understand the seating. They were like, oh my gosh, nobody's there. They had spaced out seating. ROH has been very, very careful with things. So
I thought it was very obvious, though, that everybody was spaced out, because you look at it and like you first glance and obviously you see all these giant gaps, but then it's like automatically it's obviously like, hey, they're doing these.
Buddy, it's never obvious to some wrestling fans, let me tell you. DKC Return says, Sean and Denise replaced Steven Larson in my 11 p.m. time slot. I'm totally okay with it. It's because they don't do a show anymore.
I was like, we took your viewers, y'all.
I love it. Thank you, Steven Larson. I love those guys. I don't love that you all didn't invite me to the Friday show. I felt so left out.
Let me just say this, that it is something you got to go and argue with Luke, because I did not schedule the talent. I did not schedule the people. That is not part of my job description. So please settle that with Luke.
I will. He invited me on something else before that happened anyway, though. Cyclops wants that babyface fire, Denise. He wants SRS.
Oh, SRS. I'd rather talk about SRS. Raw. Can you please just talk about Raw?
No. Let me see. Okay, yeah, we can talk about Raw. Intangible One says, did you give her two scoops of Raisin Bran? No, but I did give her two actual wrestling scoops that will not be revealed. But Norm Summers says, what's good, SRS and Hollywood Hammer? Watch Dark Elevate. I think you mean Elevation. And the Home Run Derby caught a bit of Raw. It was good for a good Raw, but just okay for a wrestling-type show. There was some stuff I really liked on this Raw. And I think we should get into that first. Why not? Let's get into that first. Bobby Lashley, Xavier Woods. So I'm a bit torn. I was definitely not in favor of Xavier Woods winning at first. By the end of the night, Denise, I was like, well, if it gets us that, okay.
It definitely made sense, obviously, afterwards with the way that everything ended. We saw a very, very, I think a different version of an angrier Bobby Lashley. I was going to say Bob Lashley because I was making a joke about it on Twitter today and it stuck. Anyways, but I thought we saw an angrier version of Bobby Lashley. You know, he's pissed off. I like this, you know. With the match itself, I you know, if it was any two other guys, so, you know, obviously with Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston and all of that, the way that Xavier Woods defeated Bobby Lashley in this match, I actually thought if they weren't, you know, if Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston weren't friends, they weren't a tag team, hell, I would have added him to this match based on this finish from tonight's match. I liked it. I mean, it was very fast. It wasn't anything that was completely, you know, blow away or anything like that, but just the fact that, you know, Xavier Woods got this win, obviously, with an inside cradle, whatever, but still, nonetheless, he got the win. I actually would have said, hey, add him to the match, but obviously that's not going to happen given that Kofi's in it. But still, either way, I like how this sort of played out for the rest of Raw, and even, well, we'll talk about more what happened towards the end, but still, I liked how it played out.
So I have a lot of conflicting feelings about this. One, the match is good. It's Xavier versus Bobby Lashley. It's going to be good. I am all for somebody winning with a inside cradle, small package. Do not mind whatsoever. Sometimes good pins pin good wrestlers. I'm okay with that. Bobby Lashley losing 6 days before he's defending the title as a way to show, oh, he can lose when he's facing a person that has already beaten him. I don't think that's the way to build up to what we assume is going to be Big E. I would make him as untouchable as possible, as dominant as possible. But that being said, I'm not going to be mad at Xavier Woods getting big wins or anything like that. Xavier Woods is incredible. He's wonderful.
See, I was going to say the same thing. Like, obviously, you don't have your champion losing a match right before this big pay-per-view, et cetera, et cetera. But I just think that the fact of how everything played out, it's almost like they told the story of this being sort of a wake-up call for Bobby Lashley. And I just think that by the end of the night, I completely felt differently about him losing. And that is the one thing that I will have to give them credit for today, because he could have easily just left it at that. And you know that they would have done it where he could have just lost and that was it, and nothing else would have been followed up whatsoever on the show. But they did follow up with this on the show, and I actually liked how it turned out.
Yeah, I did too. So again, there's a bit of conflicting feelings as Sexy Peasant once more Oliver the Cat. Oliver the Cat's got the night off. But it's like, man, I'm always for Xavier winning. I wish they would treat their champions like their champions were something special. I wish they would be protected. I've got some big problems with how they book champions. That's just the way they do it. Later on, we see New Day backstage with Lucha House Party. I loved Lince Dorado's mask tonight. They're talking about the SummerSlam party, all that stuff. That's cool. I'm down for that. Sure, that's harmless. They're told that Bobby Lashley is coming back tonight. And Bobby Lashley does come back tonight. Backstage, MVP is interviewed about the loss, and they're playing into this thing that, like, Bobby Lashley has been made soft by MVP. I don't know that that has necessarily been a plot point until recent weeks when it's been convenient for them, because the entire thing, like getting rid of the Hurt Business, was because they were making him soft and all that. So it's like they pull these plot points out of nowhere and they apply them to something. Because I had somebody say, oh, well, Lashley losing is because MVP's been making him soft. And I'm like, since when? Like, I tune out commentary an awful lot because usually it sucks. It definitely did before Jimmy Smith, but I don't remember that being like a huge plot point.
I definitely have to agree, because it wasn't like the last several weeks. It was very noticeable. Oh, hey, MVP's been making him softer or whatever. No, if anything, it was more of like, you know, you bring in the women because that's obviously, you know, he's champion, he's celebrating, he's a guy, you're going to want to bring in the women. You're going to have the expensive suits and the clothes and this and that.
There are you saying that they're bringing in women to keep him from being soft?
No, I'm not.
Are you saying they are bringing in women so he doesn't get caught with a small package?
Right. This has gone off. No. Okay. First of all, my mother is a respectable woman. Okay. Mother of five. And Sean, I will kill you. I will kill you with my bare hands.
Wow. That's a threat. Report that as violence.
That is a threat. Mark it, bookmark it, do what you need to do. Put it in the Netflix documentary when I end Sean Ross Sapp, the dirt sheet boy. I don't care. You do not mess with my mother.
Denise, stop that.
I will put those shoes where the sun don't shine.
Wow, that's rude. So, we see a promo.
Hold on. That's rude? You were trying to get at my mother.
Didn't try. Anyway, MVP's backstage telling the ladies, like, listen, anything Bobby wants, he gets tonight. Anything he wants, he gets. Fill up his glass, give him a shoulder rub, whatever. Then we get the VIP lounge, and he's rolling out the red carpet for Lashley. And Lashley ain't happy. Lashley's like, girls, get out of here. I want to talk to MVP in private. And my favorite thing is, I'm like, well, why is he doing it in front of everybody? And I'm like, wait, nobody's there. So he is talking to him in private. But this was one of the best promos that Lashley's cut in WWE. And I see a lot of people saying, oh, his promos are so much better. He's improving so much. Lashley has been this good at promos. When he's allowed to do promos like this, he has been this good. Go watch 2016, 2017 TNA Wrestling. That was Bobby Lashley. It's like he woke up one day and he goes, I'm the baddest dude in this wrestling world, and I'm going to act like it. That was him. He throws furniture everywhere, Denise. He threw the leather couch, you know, leather, same like the leather on my shoelaces on the SRS-1s. He threw those around. That was impressive. But he even said, the bullshit stops now. We're getting back to me beating up everybody. This was amazing, Denise. This was great. It was one of my favorite things on Raw all year.
I love the way that they ended tonight's show. And I think, because, okay, so part of me, so when MVP was calling him out and he wasn't coming out, I started thinking like, oh, he's probably just not going to come out whatsoever. I think he finally comes out like the third time around that they call him out. So the moment that he started coming out, it's like, okay, they're definitely going to, this is it. Like, this is it for the girls. They're gone. This is it. They're not going to come back. And right away, it was like, okay, get out of here. Like, this is a one-on-one type of thing. So I like that they jumped right into it. I do have to give credit also to MVP here, because his facial expressions when, you know, he kind of never seen the side of Bobby Lashley. So I liked how that came through. And I also, I mean, what can I say that people didn't already see when they watched Raw tonight was definitely that Bobby Lashley just came out here and he was pissed off. I think what really brought this segment to another level too was the way that he was so dominantly tossing out the furniture. You know, there's been several weeks where I'm like, yeah, Bobby Lashley's great, Bobby Lashley is good and all of that, but there were a lot of weeks where I thought he was boring, where I thought he was stale. And even at the start of his championship reign, you know that I wasn't completely on board because I didn't think he was all that exciting. At least on WWE, okay? But then as things progressed and, you know, he had more time as champion, that's when I really started seeing like this other side of Bobby Lashley that we hadn't seen in WWE before. I'm going to emphasize that again. And then I was going to say, even today at the top when he was facing Woods, I started thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe I don't want to see Bobby Lashley as champion anymore. But I will tell you, by the end of the night, I wanted to still see Bobby Lashley as champion.
I was so happy when he threw all that furniture around. That was so cool. Mainly because that furniture was absolute garbage, Denise. He wouldn't have done that if he walked in and he saw some all-form furniture there, Denise. He would have looked at it and he just said, you know what? This is good stuff. He would have taken it apart, because you can do that with all-form furniture. Maybe you got the double chase. You can take it apart, have half. You can have one chase. That's what's wonderful about allform.com/fightful. And Bobby Lashley would not have done that to Allform, because it's spill resistant, it's stain resistant, it's scratch resistant. So even if he would have thrown it, it wouldn't have damaged it. I got cats. They do not care about your furniture. And fortunately, Allform does care about your furniture. They want to make sure it's taken care of. They want to make sure that your pets don't mess it up. They want to make sure that a random Bobby Lashley doesn't show up and just destroy all your stuff. Now, you guys have heard me talk about Helix mattresses and how they changed my life. Now they're in the furniture business with Allform. It's the easiest way you can customize a sofa using premium materials at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. You pick your fabric, and like I said, spill, stain, and scratch resistant, the sofa color, the color of the legs, the sofa size, the shape to make sure it's perfect for you or your home. They got armchairs, love seats, all the way up to an 8-seat sectional, like in all kinds of shapes, C shapes, U shapes, everything. It is fantastic. You can buy more seats later on if you want your all-form sofa to grow, change whenever you move. They are delivered directly to your home with fast, free shipping. In the past, if you wanted to order a sofa, it could take weeks or even months to arrive. If they're on back order, you'd need someone to come and assemble it in your home. You might have to find somebody with a truck to go pick it up, but all-form takes just 3 to 7 days to arrive in the mail. You can assemble it yourself within a few minutes, no tools needed. I am not good at putting stuff together and following instructions like that. My ADHD is a little bit difficult with that. The all-form sofa was so easy. And let me tell you guys, we got a deal for you. All-form is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/Fightful. You get 100 days to decide if you want to keep it, if it sounds a little bit risky, if you don't love it. Just like the Helix mattress, they will pick it up for free. They'll give you a full refund. Hot dog. They even offer you a warranty forever. Denise, who has a forever warranty?
I don't know.
I didn't even get a forever warranty on the SRS1s. Well, actually, I kind of did. But we'll talk about that later. But allform.com/Fightful. Even if you haven't checked them out, check out the link, allform.com/Fightful. Just let them know that you're poking around there. They're on Twitter at allformhome. I love this sponsor. I ordered a double chase because we are hopefully moving within the next year. And I wanted to go ahead and get the start on some furniture. And I'm moving half of it in here. And that's the wonderful part. I can move half of it into my office. And then I can put the other half together whenever we move. Very excited about that. allform.com/Fightful. We have some super chats about this Lashley segment, which was a fantastic segment. Colt Badeau says, man, I wish Lashley said, Kofi, you thought your Lesnar was short. Wait until our match, but it's still a banger of a close. That's a pretty good line. And Brandon Rosen says, best promo from Bobby Lashley I've ever heard. It was a good one. He did do some really, really good work in Impact Wrestling, though. I wish you all would seek it out. But we did get some unfortunate news today, not related to Raw. Terry Allen Jr. says, Mr. Wonderful Memories, his soul will be in heaven. And we had Drew Lytle saying, just want to say thank you to Paul Orndorff, an icon of wrestling, a textbook heel, and a very underrated icon in Hogan's Rogue Gallery. Denise, funny enough, my favorite Paul Orndorff moment involves Hulk Hogan, and it's actually at their Hall of Fame. Paul Orndorff, I don't think was too keen on Hogan in the years after. And when Hogan goes by to shake everybody's hand, Paul Orndorff just looks up at him. He's like, no, that's my favorite Paul Orndorff moment. That was fantastic.
And we got to mention the music, too. I mean, come on, the theme song, one of the greatest of all time. So really sad news to hear, obviously.
On Wednesday on the Listen, You Boy, Jimmy will expand on Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. He was a big fan of Paul Orndorff's. Tragic. It sucks. It really does. We send our love, our condolences to his friends, his family, his fans. It is tragic. It really is. Omar says, Denise, watch your language. Brandon Campbell says, both of you are glowing tonight. Either you really like the show or you're happy it's the last Thunderdome show. We're very glowing, happy. Yeah, I mean,
I'm sweaty, so.
You've got good lighting. I've got 1080p. My lighting isn't that good tonight, but I am very happy that it is the last Thunderdome show. RIP the Thunderdome, piss off, never come back.
I feel like even though this Friday we're going to see like a live crowd and it's only a couple days away, I still just feel like it's years away though. Like I feel like until Friday, I really don't feel like I can get excited just yet until I physically see it. It feels far away from now still.
And it wasn't even till this weekend I was like, wait a second, I'm going to be in Nashville Friday. So I'm still going to get to watch the show, but I won't be on the post-show review. Joel Pearl will be with Jeremy. And it's like, oh, man, I'm going to miss that. But I will be here with Denise on Sunday. We're talking Money in the Bank. That's going to be a lot of fun because, I mean, my God.
Are you going to be back from Nashville?
Yes, I'll be back from Nashville by Sunday. I'm staying till Sunday afternoon. We are driving in. It's about a four-hour drive. So I'll be back in time for Money in the Bank and all that stuff. But Norm Summers says he knew we couldn't coexist. It's true. We can't. And he meant dark elevator. Okay, I see what you meant there. Fear and Loathing in New York said, Sean, Denise recently mentioned how dinners with her last around 6 hours. Did you get to experience this in Florida? No, actually, I didn't. In fact, our dinner in Florida, it was pretty quick. It was like a pizza joint, pretty quick.
I was trying to remember what I was talking about with the 6 hours thing.
Then I'm going to bury some of our colleagues, Denise. Because No, not you. Absolutely not you. Not your fault. I was real hungry before the AEW pay-per-view. And I was like, hey, let's go to this place that I thought was, that I keep hearing was really good. And then the other so-called journalists, they said, oh, no, let's go to this bar. Let's go to this bar that didn't serve food, Denise. Fortunately, I had the hookup. Your boy had the hookup. And somebody was tailgating outside the show, and they said, hey, SRS, come on and bring those hack journalists with you, too. And I got us fed.
Sean, all I know is that I ate the worst nachos of my life at Daily's Place. They were terrible. I spent $11 on the worst nachos ever. All right. And that was very depressing for me.
I will never trust.
That was my dinner.
Never trust Arena Nachos, Venue Nachos, ever, never, never anymore.
They're not terrible here. They're pretty okay here, but they were terrible at Daily's Place. I wanted to cry. They were so salty, and the cheese wasn't even cheesy good.
Worst nachos of my life were at the Cleveland AEW show where I got my hair cut. They were so bad. So bad.
That was my dinner that day. I didn't eat anything else other than those shitty nachos.
Elliot says, them journalists need to be tarped off. Funny enough, so that's a joke between John Alba and I, because when there were fans, without fail, somebody's sending me pictures of areas tarped off of the arena, like, oh my God, look, they've tarped it off. When we were walking into that bar that I just mentioned, we were across from a minor league baseball stadium, and a ball comes sailing out of there right into John Alba's hands. As we walked up to him,
right there,
he just caught it right there. It was amazing.
It was perfect timing for him too.
Cyclops says, "I'll miss the dome when I hear the first what chant." I'd rather have what chants. I hate to say that because I loathe what chants. I don't want the Thunderdome ever back again.
I'm a what chant girl.
Oh, intangible one says, "What chant girl." Of course you are. It says, "Do you think they'll try to shoo someone in like Hogan or another legend to try to pop the live crowd on SmackDown?" Yes. I think they'll probably do something like that. That makes sense, right, Denise?
Does it make sense? Yeah. Do you? I guess. I think considering the options.
Oscar says the end was great, but I don't know if Bobby had to lose for that motivation. Also, does Xavier have a chance at the title now? I completely agree with you, Oscar. I don't think Lashley needed that. He could have just said, "What are we doing with all these women and this shitty furniture that is not from All Form?" Like that should have been it, Denise. He should have said, "MVP, why are you messing around with this furniture that isn't from All Form? I'm sick of this bullshit."
You know what? I was going to disagree with you, but now that you kind of got me that you kind of got that going, considering, you know, Bobby Lashley comes in with these very fine suits and is used to the fine stuff in life, he could have complained. So that, I guess that makes a little sense.
Well, other things did happen on Raw, even though I choose to not remember much of it. This Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre segment. So Jinder comes up on the motorcycle that he just started to ride 2 weeks ago that we had never seen before. And this is a lot like the MVP making him soft thing. We never saw this motorcycle that meant so much to him before 2 weeks ago, so we knew it was getting destroyed. And it did. So they had destroyed Drew's sword, but Drew goes, "Ha ha, pal, it's a replica," and then tears up the motorcycle. Okay, whatever.
So two things here. Surprisingly not. I thought Jinder actually came up cross during this segment as pretty likable. For some reason, and I get it, he wasn't supposed to come off as likable, but it kind of worked for me. It kind of did. Mm-hmm. But with the whole sword thing and the whole motorcycle thing, to be honest, it's kind of like the exact same thing. Or not the exact same thing, but it's pretty similar to what they're doing on SmackDown with Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin's crown, except they got the crown. They got the sword. He's getting his car repossessed, and you know Shinsuke's getting it in an auction. Okay, well here you have the motorcycle. So for me, it was too somewhat similar, where I just kept thinking to myself, "All right, this is pretty much almost the exact same thing that I'm seeing on SmackDown." So I wasn't necessarily crazy about this whatsoever, but whatever. He ruins the motorcycle. I feel like a lot of the times when you see like a vehicle getting destroyed, because there have been so many classic moments where we've seen vehicles getting destroyed, that if you're going to destroy any sort of vehicle and it's kind of lame, you got to do it in a really good way for it to actually get over, for me to actually pop for it. I'm not going to pop for just this little simple beatdown on a motorcycle that, again, like you just said, has only been with Jinder Mahal for like 2 weeks or so. Now, if this had been like months long, where we were seeing him with this motorcycle and we all knew it was his treasured love, then you know what? I'd be like, dang, that's pretty messed up. Like if they were to mess up Matt Riddle's scooter, I would feel bad and be like, you know what? Matt Riddle loves that scooter and look what they just did to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you got to get emotion for it.
Of course, Drew did the "Hey, gender up here," which made me pop. Anna Bauert rolling over in her non-existent grave right now. But to me, there's so much source material to draw from Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre. They have honest to God history. They were together at some of the lowest points of their career, and they both overcame that, overcame being fired, came back and won the WWE Championship. They're so close. And there's so much history that everybody knows about. But what WWE is relying on is a sword and a motorcycle. You could, like, anybody could write this in their sleep and do better than this. After all that, all the stuff they've been through, this is what WWE draws on. That's the lamest shit ever. That is the dumbest thing.
People just really care about their swords and motorcycles, you know?
Colt says, so I guess WWE is selling a toy of Drew and the bike you can destroy. LMFAO, so this segment was to sell toys. Yeah, he threw that.
Are they really selling that?
I'm sure they will. Yeah, he slammed the bike down on the concrete, you know, kind of like the concrete leather on these SRS1s. Look at that, Denise. That's beautiful.
They look gorgeous, Sean.
GOI kicks. Oh, it's magnificent. It's hard to find, you know. So later on, Drew gives us another history lesson about Icarus and Money in the Bank. Okay, whatever. Sure. I thought we were going to escape the history lessons. Like, are they trying to make him as uncool as possible? Because Drew is a naturally likable guy. He comes across passionate in all of his interviews, and he's a nice person. This is weird.
Do you think that maybe that's why they're doing the history stuff for him to hit harder, like for it to hit harder at home that he's a passionate guy? Because I feel like usually if you're trying to tell that, if you want to get the point over that someone's passionate, you want to have them, you know, give this big encouraging story and you only find encouragement from, you know, people from the past and, oh, he's so inspired by, you know, past stories. I don't know. Do you almost feel like maybe they think that's getting him over?
All due respect, I wish he'd be passionate about anything else.
It kind of tells me they think it might be working.
Oh, hell, Johnny says baseball stadium nachos are the best nachos, not the ones I had at Great American Ballpark recently. Intangible
ones are pretty good.
Intangible, yeah, I'd say so. Intangible one says, I've heard if you stick some all foam furniture and a Helix mattress together, it'll make good for a Blue Chew night. That it will. I'm just saying. That it will. Get your super chats in, guys. You'll get your question or statement read on the air. Ah, boy. So, Alexis Playground, Dewdrop, and Eva Marie are there. Eva Marie is not a good actress. This is not good dialogue.
You're none barely getting this?
This is just not good. Geez, man.
It is fun to say Dewdrop, Sean. Dewdrop.
Yeah, sure.
Dewdrop.
For sure. And then Nikki's having a conversation with Riddle backstage. And I'm like, yeah, sure, man, whatever. This is one of the worst Riddle segments that I've seen recently. Not great for Nikki either.
With Nikki, you didn't like it?
No, I didn't.
Wow, Sean, it's the other way around. Usually you like this stuff and I don't. I thought they were hilarious together because they both have this kind of like, you know, like airheady vibe. Hers is obviously different.
But yeah, it just
worked well.
It just wasn't for me. And I mean, I know that this type of stuff isn't meant for me, so I give it a little bit more leeway. Evan Wright says, does Eva Marie have any redeemable qualities? She looks like a star. I mean, that's about it. But Brandon Rosen says, where's Randy Orton? Do you mean the Viper, Randy Orton? Well, I don't know where the Viper is, but I know where the Python is because that back tab right there, Denise, that's White Python on the SRS1s. White Python! Snakeskin!
Wow, I've never seen snakeskin.
I know you haven't. You don't live like that. I don't know where Randy Orton is. I'm trying to find out. Intangible One says, by the way, F the people who caused Naomi to leave Twitter. Yeah. Like, don't get personal with people, guys. It's so weird. It's so weird. I can't imagine the amount of, first off, the amount of vitriol that, Naomi just gets for being a black woman in general. But then you compound that with dumbass wrestling fans and dumbass fans that think that she's responsible for some stupid shit that her husband did, and she's not responsible for it. Leave her alone, for the love of God. Don't get personal with that.
It's just weird, too, because that was one of the things that, like, you always see. And this was something that I know Ariana Grande was speaking a lot about this, because every time there's, like, somebody, like, a guy in the media eye, or, you know, as a celebrity or whatever, and if he has some sort of troubles, it's always like blame the woman, not blame the woman, but the woman is always expected to, like, take care of this person, to be like the one responsible to calm them down or to get them away from these things. And I hate that stuff, because I just feel like, it's, if somebody has issues, it doesn't mean that just because you're their spouse that you can, like, go ahead and help them out of those issues. Like, you don't know what she's going, what's going on with them or her beyond, behind closed doors. And it's not for me or for anybody to speculate, but I just kind of think it's pretty messed up that people were writing stuff to her. And also, like, yeah, it's messed up, and I'm not surprised either. I'm not even going to act like I'm surprised.
No, not surprised either. As the villain says, has Lily been permanently timed out? It seems like it.
No, her doll is officially up for sale. Everybody kept sending me screenshots of Lily being sold on WWEshop.com.
Yeah, it seems, I hope it is, because it sucked. It was so bad. Before we get into the women's match, Ian says, I don't know what to say, so thank you guys for another Monday. Great scoop on Sonya, Sean. Yeah, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Got some news on her up. What did you think of this tag team match? Nikki Cross, or it was a fatal four-way, rather. Nikki Cross defeated Asuka, Naomi, Alexa Bliss via pinfall. We get Eva Marie and Doudrop popping up. Hey, guys. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made, and I was shocked. He is in his 80s. Still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
He wasn't great, wasn't good, but what did you think of this match?
All right, Sean, I feel like we swapped places here. Okay, so first and foremost, like, yeah, you know, I haven't been a fan of this Eva Marie Doudrop thing, but I think out of all the weeks, I think today I hated it the least. That's probably the nicest compliment that I could give it. I hated it the least today. Although you should know that maybe my views were very different today, because I started Raw 40 minutes late today. I didn't start on the dot. So maybe that's why I'm happier.
I didn't even get home from picking up the SRS ones until 40 minutes into the show. But next week I will be watching Raw from the start because fans are there. So I'm going to watch it straight up. Like, I'm not going to skip out on anything there. Plus, some exciting stuff might happen as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, so I feel like maybe that's why I have like a different, nicer view today because I came in late. But anyways, the stuff I did like about this match, very minimal stuff, but I got to point it out. I thought Asuka came in with a fire that, you know, she always has, and that obviously came through. She had some very nice moments with Naomi in there. I liked the attempted double pin by Naomi. I thought that was really good as well. And I thought the way that Nikki won, I thought that was a fun way for her to win the match. I thought that was good too. The little interaction between Alexa and Doudrop and Eva Marie wasn't terrible. It doesn't make sense because it's making Doudrop seem even more confusing because at first, I mean, I don't even know what she was telling Alexa Bliss, but I assume that she was kind of giving her the pass of, hey, go on and do whatever you want with Eva Marie. And then they kind of teased that. And then obviously she didn't because Doudrop came and helped her out. So it's kind of like, all right, Doudrop, you got to tell me here, why exactly, they got to explain it. Why exactly is she, you know, doing everything that Eva Marie wants her to do? I think at this point now they got to explain it because it's making Doudrop kind of look a little dumb. So you got to give her something for me to at least say, you know what? She's doing it for a reason. She's taking the L for a reason. You know what? That would make me respect her more on camera, obviously. But yeah, it was just there.
Intangible One says, not a Raw Super Chat, but I guess for Deonna's challenger is going to be returning Mickie James as a one-off, even if she's in NWA. I'll say this, I'll get an interview with whoever it is. Up next, we had a Viking Raiders promo, AJ and Omos promo. Then Ivar beat AJ Styles in a very quick match. And then Omos beat Eric in a very quick match. It's a standard 50-50 stuff. I thought the promo the Viking Raiders cut was awful.
You mean awful. Vikings aren't the greatest people ever and smell delicious and are incredibly sexy to women?
I mean, it's just so just, oh, they're like,
it's
I remember them in Ring of Honor as killing machines. They were war machine. They would just destroy people. And this just, oh, this is not it. The match with AJ and Ivar was just way too quick. And like I said, before WrestleMania, he was winning so much that we're like, oh my God, they're building him up for Triple H. Ever since he said he was going to challenge for the title, lose, 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 lose. Guy never wins anymore. And it's when he's a champion. It's so weird to me, Denise. Omos is super limited. So when somebody does beat him, hopefully he can make them look good. But Evan Wright says he misses Hanson and Ray Rowe. I do too. And somebody goes, that's not their characters now. Yeah, I know. Their characters now suck. That's the point. Their characters now suck. They were better before.
Their characters now are very cartoonish. That's the problem, is that instead of making them look like badasses, now they're just, you know, they're kind of, they're trying to be who they're supposed to be, who they naturally can be. They're acting like trying to be those guys. So it's not the greatest, but I will say this though, even though the AJ Styles Ivar match was really fast, I thought that for what it was really fun. And it kind of bothered me that it was so fast because they gave us a really nice tease. Obviously, you know, you have AJ bumping like crazy for Ivar. Ivar's still this big guy who can do pretty great stuff in there. So it's always impressive. You mix those two up together, you get a pretty fun match. And so they could have gone a lot longer with this one, I think. With Ivar winning, I was surprised. I wasn't expecting it, but I like it. I was a fan of it. With Omos and Eric, obviously the only good part of this match was when Eric was essentially trying to take Omos down because, you know, he was trying to do everything in his power to do so. So I liked that. Really, the only thing that Omos brings to the table is he's funny. The guy's legit funny. He doesn't even try to be funny, but he makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Even just with like facial expressions and the way that he's so overdramatic with like the sound effects that he's making during his matches. But I mean, other than that, there really wasn't much to take from this. It was a nice little, you know, chunk of time here. I didn't mind it. I do wish that the AJ Ivar would have been match would have been longer.
Yeah, I do too. They've got people selling like crazy for Omos. Omos just ran in to Eric, and he was down for over 30 seconds. In WWE, that's a very, very, very long time. Now, by the way, this person didn't send a super chat, but if you're going to chat and say, wins and losses do not matter in WWE, listen, this is our show. If we want them to matter and we say, hey, we wish they would matter, it's our fucking show. It's our show. Sheamus is on Raw Talk, says, who do you think will win the briefcases at Money in the Bank? I think Big E. Who do you think on the women's side?
All right. I kind of hope for Liv Morgan. I don't know. And maybe it's too out there, but I kind of got to go for Liv Morgan for a second.
I would love that. Brandon Rosen says, fans returning aside, are either of you expecting next week's Raw to be good?
It should be. I hope so. If it's not, it's going to be a very bad, it's not going to be a good start if it's not good. So they got to make it good.
Cyclops says they would have fit in the WWE mid-80s, yikes. Definitely like early 90s too, and they would have been great. I mean, they are a great tag team, an amazing tag team, but this gimmick and these promos are not good. B. Barber says, SRS in Hollywood, Salcedo, thank you for watching and reviewing this show so I can keep my sanity. This ish is awful. It ain't great. It is not great. Kenshiro says, I know Lucha Blog said there's no chance for any AEW ROH action, but do you think we see Andrade going for Bandido at some point? Eventually, yeah. I think there will be AEW ROH action eventually. I think everybody's going to end up working together. Some stuff I heard this week, not necessarily about them, but just in general, very promising. I mean, straight up, the report I have on Fightful Select right now about MLW using the LAX trademark or using that term, it's promising stuff. It's looking good. Knock Bogan says, I'm late to the stream, but 1080p Sean with his baby face shoes. Oh, my God. And he plays Shawn Michaels music. And you know what? And we're talking about WWE getting out of the Thunderdome next week. They're getting out of Florida, Denise, for the first time in forever. You know, Florida is where a bunch of gators are, but also my shoes are where a bunch of gators are. Look at that glazed gator swoosh. SRS wants Denise from GOI Kicks. Look at that. Can you believe it? Can you believe it, Denise?
Sean, you need to be on like the Home Shopping Network because you can literally turn anything into a sales pitch.
I know.
Clip
and we're talking.
Send it into them. You might make thousands of, you know how much they pay for those jobs?
A lot.
They pay a lot.
And I mean, they were talking about teams fitting in the early 90s, late 80s with those teams there. These SRS ones would fit in there. Look at that. It's Nasty Boy-esque with the paint.
Jesus Christ. Nice. I thought you were going a totally different direction.
GOI Kicks. Oh, it's amazing. Cyclops says, how long are Roosh and Lee signed to ROH? I don't know. I'll have to look into it.
Didn't they announce that like a couple months ago, actually, that they had re-signed or something?
I don't think they have it a date. But usually it's through the end of a year or something like that. I'll look up the Fightful contracts right now. But your boy Baby says, Luffy, all, do you think Priest will win the U.S. title? And we had a super chat saying Priest is back. Priest has been back. It's just Denise, for some reason, he's been playing old buddy to a bunch of people.
Yeah, he's been the BFF backstage, that's for sure. But that was actually one of my predictions. I think it would, and I know a lot of people are like, well, not a lot of people. There were a couple of people that were thinking that it was too soon. But my prediction is that next week, and maybe it is too soon, I don't know. But next week, I'm predicting Priest, Sheamus, U.S. title, bam, Priest wins, gets a nice pop from the crowd. I think that would be a good thing to do for the live audience.
Yeah, I like that. So backstage, Sheamus is not happy about facing Humberto. He's got a new great mask. That's cool. But Sheamus beats the brakes off of Humberto. Humberto is being tended to by officials. And also you see Ali and Mansoor there. Ali made a nice tweet later on saying, you always got to watch your back. I like how Ali was smart enough to tie that into his storyline because Ali is the man. So credit to him. The beatdown was good, but Humberto is like, No, we're gonna do this. We're gonna keep doing it. He gets kicked in the face and beaten up. This is match number 4. The feud has been 3 months long. I'm ready to move on. And apparently Sheamus is too, because Damian Priest is out, and that match would be awesome. Fortunately, Denise, we're going to get to see Damian Priest versus Sheamus like six times.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, Denise, Sheamus is mad because he got punched in the face.
They did Umberto dirty, though. They really did. I mean, they made him look dumb.
Put him in a tag team already. Save that guy.
Yeah, I feel bad. Honestly, there's just nothing good coming out of any of that. And there was a moment during this long story that I was rooting for Umberto. I thought that they were doing right by him for a moment in time in this long, you know, however months you just said it was. And it's just like, it's not the way that they did things tonight. I wasn't a fan of it. Obviously, if it's going to lead to the possibility of Damian Priest becoming U.S. champion, then I'm not going to complain. I'll shut up. I won't complain. But
he should be U.S. champion.
Yeah, he should. But the point is that they did Umberto dirty. That's where I will end it with that.
Yeah, I think so as well. Oh, man. Enter the Villain says, time for the Gucci Hollywood hammer heels. Oh, boy. And somebody wants to create a GoFundMe for Hollywood Salcedo ones.
Oh, man. That would be
great. Have you ever designed any clothes, gear, anything like that?
When I was little, I would design gear for potential wrestlers that I created in my mind when I was bored. Oh, you know what I would do as a kid? I would draw the future images of what I wanted to look like.
Ah, and
I
didn't come
out looking anything like what I wanted to look like. But when I was a kid, fair. That's what I do.
Guys, reminder, leave a thumbs up on this video. Also on the channel today, I dropped an interview with Willie Mack ahead of Slammiversary. He's got a big tag team title match. Check it out. I've got another interview dropping this week. I just don't know who it's going to be yet. Trying to flush out the schedule and see how all that works out. But a lot of great interviews up. But again, guys, get those super chats in as we're heading down the home stretch. Brystar says, surprise, splash holes. Enjoyed the Dripochet match. Well, Ricochet and John Morrison had a very sports entertainment Falls Count Anywhere match. They did go all over the place. They had a lot of cute spots. There were some fun spots, one through the ladder. Riddle has been helping out Morrison because Randy Orton is not around. I don't know what's up with Orton. I'm trying to find out. Wouldn't be shocked if he was just like, I'm not on Money in the Bank. Just give me 3 or 4 weeks off. Like, he was supposed to have time off after Mania. Ricochet gets the win. I'm glad he got the win. I've liked this little mini feud between he and John Morrison. I think it's been booked pretty well. What'd you think about it, Denise?
When this match started, I thought it was really lame. I was like, oh my God, this match sucks. Because they were, instead of utilizing the stipulation, they were kind of going for all of these pinfalls that they knew were unnecessary. We knew were unnecessary. Nobody expected a 3 count during any of those pinfalls. And I thought that it really slowed down the start of this match. But once, I think after we saw that 450 from Ricochet. I mean, things really turned the tables from there. I thought once they actually let Ricochet, you know, show how good he is, how athletic he is, and actually show the things that he's good at, that's when this match went from, you know, point A to point B, just got so much better. Even the incorporation of Matt Riddle coming out and, you know, essentially, you know, messing with The Miz and his wheelchair and all of that was pretty funny. The frog splash and through the ladder I thought was great. So it definitely picked up and made for a very entertaining match that was probably the best part of Raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Outside of that Lashley promo, I was digging this. This was fun. It was harmless. It was very sports entertainment. And I'm okay with that. Matt James says kudos to a good match between Morrison and Ricochet. However, I don't know if I want to see them risk doing all the spots a week before they're returning in front of fans who can truly show their appreciation. They still got to build for a pay-per-view with fans this weekend, so I really didn't mind that. But we got a backstage segment, Natalya and Tamina. So, before that, Cyclops says Riddle out here looking for a father figure. I guess, but Randy is not that. But Riddle said that he wants to cash in Money in the Bank for the Raw Tag Team titles. And I'm just like, all you got to do is ask for a title shot, man. That's it.
That is true.
Brandon Rosen says that neck breaker off the apron and Morrison Ricochet could have ended the match disastrously. Yeah, there's some stuff that I'm like, that spot could have waited. And Joel Pearl reminds us, we do have watch-alongs on Slammiversary and Money in the Bank on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Make sure you guys check that out. Vincent Millage says, imagine if Randy Orton comes out and helps Riddle win Money in the Bank briefcase and finally gives Riddle a fist bump. I think people would pop. I think they would too.
If he finally like turns him into like, not turns him into him, but gets him on the same page. Yeah. I think that would be pretty funny. That would be awesome.
So backstage, we see Natalya, who lost last week. Brandon Charles Powell says, how is Natalya in Money in the Bank after getting pinned Friday? WWE. That's
not
how.
Even that. I hate the way that this was essentially revealed on social media. I mean, come on. And they didn't even make a big deal of it on Raw. Like, it should have been something that was like, hey, she's officially. I felt like they kind of were like, oh, she's in it. And that was it. Like, it's easily very forgettable that she was even included into this match.
Well, she says she wants to accomplish something for the first time, which is all the stuff she's done and nobody else has done. And then Tamina's like, yeah, but listen over here. Mandy and Dana are around the corner. And they pushed Dana hard, which is funny. But I'm like, you guys have beaten them like twice now. You beat them in a singles match, beat them in a six-person tag. They walked out because a match wasn't worth it to them. Like, why would you even care about giving them a time of day, Denise?
I didn't care about this segment whatsoever. I was watching and I was not taking in any of the information that was being said. I was just watching and I just didn't care. I did not care about this.
Well, BFG says couple of bucks for Rhea and Natty. I enjoyed that. I actually enjoyed the match too. I thought Natty's powerbomb on Rhea was badass. We always say it. Rhea is the biggest 5'7" woman ever. Like, I can't believe she's just 5'7", as if that's short. But Natty hitting the powerbomb on her was good. And for all the criticism I give WWE's production, there was the spot where Natalya had her leg tied up with Rhea and got slammed into the corner. If they would have kept the side angle instead of the angle they used, it would have looked bad. But they switched the camera angle and you saw it facing on and it looked really, really good. Rhea Ripley gets the win with the Riptide. Charlotte comes out and attacks. Jamie Miles says, does Troll face or does Charbot end up Money in the Bank? I think so. But I thought this was a solid match. It's just, everybody knew that Natalya was going to lose. But I mean, I watch and enjoy matches on plenty of other companies where I know somebody's going to lose. I thought Natalya did some good stuff here.
See, and this is the thing is that Natty, she is so good at obviously what she does. And I feel like any time that, you know, they say, oh, Natty's going to have a match with so-and-so, people tend to be like, oh, like, okay. Why? Because they haven't necessarily given her, they have to give her more credibility when she has these matches, because this was honestly the best match that Rhea Ripley has had on Raw since she's became champion. I don't remember so many of her matches being all of that, you know, all of that great on Raw. And this was probably the best one that I can remember off the top of my head. And a lot of that was due to the fact that Natty was in this match with her, and that, you know, Natty can have a good match with just about anybody. And so, you know, with that being said, I do think that WWE should give her more credibility so that when she is put into these matches, you know, they could utilize her in a way to, again, elevate your champion. And this match that she had with Rhea today was awesome. I love when Rhea just like headbutted her. I thought that was really cool. And I just wish that they would, I thought this was a good way to use Natty, and it made Rhea Ripley look good tonight.
Cyclops says, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, Mandy. Also, we had a super chat this on the SmackDown show that I didn't read. I missed it. The Enduring Icon said, thanks for everything you guys do. Happy 5th. We appreciate you all so much. If you guys want to relive some good Fightful memories, we had that on the list in your boy last week. So thank you to everybody who had kind words. Intangible One says, what if Money in the Bank is where Orton turns on Riddle? He's about to win. Orton comes out of nowhere, pulls him off the ladder into that RKO. I want them to get mileage out of this. I want them to keep it going on.
I think it would be too soon for him to turn on Riddle. If that is the plan for down the line, I still think they can do a whole lot more with them together as a duo.
I believe we have covered all of Raw now.
We did.
We've got a prediction show tomorrow. There's also the Booty Pro Wrestling media call. Oh my God, can't believe that's happening. I will be out on Friday, but we will still have, of course, a live post show. This week it is Joel Pearl and Jeremy Lambert. And then next week I'll be in Denver. I've actually got the weekend off, not working. But how about this? We got Robert DeFelice filling in for Jeremy and filling in for me. Pineapple Pete Shug Dunkerton is going to fill in. I'm so excited for that. It's going to be great. Brandon Charles Powell says, tag team Sap and Sato killing it tonight. Killing it almost as much as my SRS-1s from GOI Kicks. Guys, check out allform.com/Fightful. Regardless of what your furniture situation is, show them some love. Hit them up on Twitter at allformhome. The more of you that hit them up and say, oh, you know what? We heard about you from Fightful. The more likely they are to support us. And when they support us, we can bring you more shows. That's very important. And of course, FightfulSelect.com. I posted 3 news stories today. Have a podcast up there. We got 2 podcasts up tomorrow. News every single day, even when I'm out of town. Denise, what do you got going on?
All right. Well, I will definitely be here on Saturday talking about Slammiversary. Obviously, I'll be back with you on Sunday to talk about WWE Money in the Bank. I got lots of interviews planned for this week, which I will be dropping, and you'll see who they are once the interviews actually drop. You can follow me on youtube.com/Denise Salcedo, Twitter
nice.
And Instagram @_Denise. What are you talking about? You have like a zillion interviews coming up. All right. Twitter and Instagram @_Denise Salcedo. That is where I promote all my live streams, all my interviews, and pretty much everything that I do. So go ahead and check that out.
I've got a giant backlog of interviews. I've got like a backlog for a month.
Sean, since I've known you, you've had this backlog of interviews.
But I mean, like, there are some instances, like obviously the Patriot, rest in peace, had a special occasion where I could release that one, but like I try to release 2 a week. I try to go Monday or Tuesday, Thursday or Friday. I got like 10 interviews in the can. And I got 2 more tomorrow. I'm interviewing Virgil for some reason tomorrow. He's got a video game coming out. But then I'm going to Nashville and I'm getting more interviews. Then I'm going to Vegas and getting hopefully more. Hopefully we're getting stuff in Vegas, Denise. I don't know.
So. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
The event, obviously.
Yeah, that too. That's kind of important. But guys, tune in Tuesday noon tentatively, unless, quite frankly, if WWE gives me an interview tomorrow at noon, it'll be delayed. But myself and Kate Hensler will be live making predictions for Money in the Bank and for Slammiversary. Thank you guys so much. Until next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money.